I think one of the most unique businesses that we have in the incubator right now is a company called Destructible. They're really focused on renewables and the renewable energies around wind energy. And so the big complaint right now is that we're burying the panels, or the blades, if you will. And people don't like that. Obviously, no one likes putting metal in the earth. And so what they're doing is they're taking the blades and shredding them down and then selling that shred into a fly ash company that's making the ash for concrete. And so an incredibly innovative, very unique, very popular solution to a problem that a lot of people have with wind energy. So very awesome.
You're listening to Buff Speak, the official podcast of the Paul and Virginia Engler College of Business at West Texas A&M University. I am Dr. Nick Gerlich, your host, as we meet up with the thought leaders making an impact today.
One of the most important things that any business can do, especially smaller businesses early in their existence, is to seek guidance and training. And getting up and running is hard enough, but knowing and acquiring all the necessary skills for running a business is quite another. Furthermore, sometimes establishing that business requires resources, whether they're human, financial, or physical, and the business owner simply may not have all them. That's why the WT Enterprise Center in Amarillo exists, not only to serve Amarillo and Canyon businesses, but also those across the Panhandle region. The WTEC is a department of the Paul and Virginia Engler College of Business here at WT, and my guest today is Brian Ennevoldsen, its managing director. Brian, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, tell us straight away the mission of the WTEC and how long it's been around.
Yeah, the mission really is to support entrepreneurs or aspiring entrepreneurs, both existing and startups, in growing and scaling companies here in the Panhandle. And we do that because economic development thrives off of small businesses. You know, when a small business goes into a community, it begins to see success and begins to grow and begins to hire. And those employment dollars provide awesome opportunities for people that are looking for local employment, and they don't have to leave. You know, our Dr. Windler, the president here at WT, is passionate about brain drain. And we think small businesses is a great solution to that problem. You know, when our students are graduating, they're looking for opportunity and they're looking for money. And if they can't find that here in the Panhandle, we run the risk of them finding it somewhere else and leaving. And so creating small businesses and continuing to see that innovation will not just keep our community thriving, but it keeps our economy thriving and keeps our doors open, keeps the lights on.
Before we dive too far into this, tell us a little bit about yourself and how long you've been in this role, your prior work experience, and your education, and of course, how old are you?
Yeah, so I'm 33 years old. Been in the role of director a little over 2 years now. Been with the Enterprise Center 5, and really enjoyed it. I came from a background in first pursuing emergency medicine. I went through Amarillo College's EMT program, great program, and really enjoy helping people, and went and did ministry for a while in the church, and general managed a landscape company, and just loved people and processes. Got my MBA at Wayland Baptist University with a specialization in project management, and realized that most MBAs sit in an office and they don't really get to deal with people as much as I wanted to. And the Enterprise Center was a great melding of really helping people pursue their vision and their dreams and what they feel called to while applying my MBA and business knowledge. So really love the mission, and it fits well with who I believe I am as a person.
What types of clients do you have at the WTEC?
Yeah. So in the incubator right now, as well as Destructible, we have a student at WT. His name's Parker Suttle, started a company called AI Synapse Solutions, created an AI sales agent. In 5 minutes, this AI bot crawls your website, creates an AI informed chat bot that you can train yourself and put onto your website and engage with your customers and handle a lot of the FAQ and even schedule meetings and do everything without a human having to touch it. So it's the ability to scale an incredible company. We also have Dynamite Speech Therapy that provides speech therapy services in the top 26 counties. A lot of contracts with schools, and rural schools especially, don't have service providers. And so those small businesses that are willing to go out into these rural communities and provide crucial services to the students of the school districts, I mean, that's huge. Another is Breast Friends. They focus on child lactation consulting. So they're really focused on making sure the mom knows that it's not the mom. I learned this because of my clients. 95% of the time, it's the baby that's actually the problem, and it's not the mom. And so a lot of moms feel a lot of guilt, and it's never their fault. Most of the time, it's not their fault. And so love her mission and what she's doing. Jody Holland Training, love his mission. He's really focused on taking an online platform. And so really, really excited about that. And then in addition to the incubator, we have about 33 clients in our Founders Club program. That are external businesses that are running in Amarillo Canyon and growing. So we support about 38 businesses in total right now.
I'm amazed at the breadth of different businesses, because there's really no duplication from one to the other. They're all so very unique, and that's great. And I am really intrigued by the one you mentioned with Parker. In fact, I plan to have him on the show here soon.
Oh,
here.
Fantastic.
You know, Amarillo is not exactly Silicon Valley. We're not a tech magnet,
no.
But I think it's really inspiring to know that there's people out there creating high-tech solutions to real-world problems, even out here in Amarillo, where, you know, beef is, you know, everyone knows us for that.
That's right.
And that's it. And maybe someday we'll be known for more than that.
Yeah. Well, and that's really the, you know, not to chase a squirrel, but the power of AI, you know, the ability to leverage skill development. And, you know, Parker is self-taught in 7 months, leveraging resources off of Discord and ChatGPT to learn how to code and develop this incredibly sophisticated platform with relatively, you know, no necessarily book knowledge, but a lot of gumption and determination to figure it out and using the tools that he had available to him, which is entrepreneurship.
And how long do these clients of yours typically work with you?
We want to see them leave our building in 3 years. And so from our first meeting, we talk about milestones and what does it look like to successfully leave our building. And that's really what we want to help them accomplish in whatever time frame that takes.
I noticed that you have a commercial kitchen on site. How has this been utilized through the years?
Yeah, so we have two commercial kitchens. One is a smaller, I would say it's kind of like a test startup kitchen, if you will. So it rents for anywhere from 10 to 25 an hour, depending on what appliances you're going to use. But it has a stock pot burner, a 36-inch range, 36-inch flat grill, a convection double oven, reach-in freezer, reach-in coolers. All commercially rated, and that really allows a food truck or an entrepreneur that needs a commercially rated space. So we're good with the city. The city loves us. They know that we're on top of it, thank God, to just try out and get recipes, because really that customer discovery phase is so important. You know, they want to run off and go get nutrition labels and recipes and shelf life analysis. Well, we're spending a bunch of money on a product we don't even know if people like yet. So why don't we test it in this kitchen, get good feedback on the recipe, work on what we really want to finalize. Our MVP is what we work towards. And then we want to focus on scaling that. So we have a larger kitchen that you can grow into that right now Skip Salsa and Gomez Tortilleria are the primary users. So they kind of split the space. So our running joke is we're just missing a queso company.
And there you go.
So if anybody's listening that needs a queso company, come
see us. You could have lunch.
We could. We very well could.
I remember in prior conversations with you, and we don't have to name names of prior clients and stuff, but I remember you telling me stories of incidents in the kitchen, like stuff on the ceiling, and everything.
Yeah,
everything happens there. Lots of stories from the kitchen,
we do
I'm
have
sure.
Showers on site for just that occasion.
That's great. Well, tell us a little more about the business incubator and how does this work? Is this like a shared workspace? And just tell us the details.
Yeah. So the incubator is 31,000 square feet of space. And in that space, you have the SBDC, you have Ogallala Commons and TMAC that all have partnerships with us there that kind of help facilitate growth with the companies that are there. But you also have office space, the kitchen, and then manufacturing space. So there's really accommodations for a wide range of types of business. But the first start, if you want to come in, is just an application. We want to make sure you're ready to start incubation. You know, there's really that focus of, do you know your customer? Do you know what you're selling? And did we just start? Have we hit some bumps and overcome them yet? You know, there's some litmus tests of entrepreneurship of, have you hit the first large rejection or hurdle and pushed through it? And we really just want to just meet the entrepreneur and get a good gauge of where they're at. We have a committee of 5 members, Gina Woodward, regional director of the SBDC, Paul Simpson, director of development, retention, and expansion at AEDC, Dusty Delano, our TMAC representative, Aaron Sage Oilvac, who's our largest manufacturing client to come out of the incubator, and then David Solis of Altura Engineering, who's our largest service-based company to ever come out of the incubator. And so they'll review the application, look for loopholes, see what you're missing, and then we really want to get you in and start working towards those milestones.
Do you actively pursue clients or do they pursue you?
You know, that's a great question. We do market. We do. We're working on a new website right now, which we're excited about because we'll get to highlight more of what we're actually capable of helping people with. Our current system is really limiting. So we do some marketing, but most of it is word of mouth. You know, that's we kind of count on our clients to go out there and network, and whether that's at their place of faith or the grocery store or wherever, where they're going, hey, if you're working on a business idea, that's the place to be. And that's really what we want to build, is a reputation of, if you're working on a business, this is the destination for you, not just because the Enterprise Center's here, but because all the resource providers for entrepreneur support can be found under this roof.
Now, in spite of the fact that those companies you mentioned a few minutes ago being very, very disparate, I have to wonder, is there any common thread between all of these? And if so, what is it?
Yeah, I think the common thread comes in the business fundamentals. And that's really where we find our magic, our low-hanging fruit, if you will. Regardless of the business, everybody needs to know how to read a P&L or income statement, a balance sheet, a cash flow statement. You need to know your financial metrics that are important to your business. HR is another huge fundamental. Hiring, firing, documentation, unemployment, lawsuits, harassment claims, you know, helping people navigate the litigation and the legal aspects of it. Not that we are lawyers, but we do have the ability to pull people together and go, oh man, I've been through something similar. This is how we handled it and the outcome. This is what we would do different. And there's that opportunity to grow. We one of our values is serendipitous interactions. You never know what you've gone through and how that might help me. And so bringing people together to really network and then bring in those resource providers like lawyers and CPAs, it's just huge.
What types of services do you provide for these businesses? And let me just run with that a little bit. Does it differ from one client to the next?
You know, that's a great question. And it really does. Most of the difference is from startup to pretty existing mature business. The mature business is really thinking about succession planning. What does it look like for the next owner to come in? Are you training up the next CEO? More large scale issues. The startup is really figuring out all of those things. You know, we make money. Where does it go? I don't know where our money goes. I don't know how much I need to make to have employees. And so we do cater to kind of the stage that the entrepreneur is at. But again, it's very focused on the entrepreneur. That's where we're different than the SBDC, where the SBDC is really technically provided. We're really there to do and follow the entrepreneur. And so if they need, you know, the other day we were in a coaching session with a gentleman, me and Gina, that he was looking at buying a business. And so Gina really focused on the financials. Is the business cash flowing? Is this a good investment to acquire a business and potentially scale? And I was focused on the culture of you acquire a business, you know, how are you going to transfer your culture from Canyon, Texas to Dallas, Texas? And how are you going to manage employees remotely and manage payroll and HR issues remotely? And so there was really that good blend of both where we're kind of holistically approaching it from two different sides.
In previous conversations, I've heard you use the word coaching quite a bit. And I like that. It's so much different from, say, somebody like a boring professor like me who's just teaching, you know. Whatever. You're not in the education business. Sure. You're in the helping business. Correct. And guiding and directing. What range of coaching activities do you provide?
Yeah. So we're internationally coaching federation certified coaches. And in that process, you really get trained to ask good questions and listen. And so I'm listening for what you're saying. I'm listening for what you're not saying. The coaching sessions really start out with me coming in going, hey, Dr. Gerlich, you know, glad we're here today. We have 30 minutes, an hour. What is it that you need to leave today's session with? And they'll come in and say, you know, I really need to figure out our training issue. I need to diagnose. We're not training our employees well. They're coming in and they're leaving. We have a high turnover. I need to explore that. And so we'll just dive in and start asking questions around the problem, because a lot of it's perspective too. Is the problem that you're seeing the real problem that you have? Or do we need to root down into the real issue of, is it a hiring manager that's the problem and not the training program? Is it people problems or is it process problems? And let's diagnose and then start coming up with some solutions.
Well, any idea of how many businesses make it to 5 years after first seeking your assistance?
Yeah. So right now we have a 72% 5-year success rate, which historically, someone's going to fact check me on this and I'm probably wrong. I believe that number floats between 20 and 30% are successful 5 years and 5 years on. And so typically our clients see twice as long as success.
And you've mentioned the SBDC and Gina, and I've had Gina on the show before too, but I bet a lot of our listeners are maybe just a little bit confused. Like, what's the difference between the West Texas Enterprise Center and the Small Business Development Center, especially since you coexist in the same building? And how are you different from them? And why would a business seek you out instead of them?
Yeah. So we really encourage people to work with both for the life of their business. And we have that issue all the time. We get that question a lot. It's a great question. The SBDC is focused technically on the business, financial projections, market research, demographics, some establishment, you know, S-corp versus sole prop versus general proprietorship. They know all the taxes and laws. Incredible, incredible program, federally funded and free to anybody that's needing their services. And so where a consultant is really telling you what you need to do, we're really focused on what the client is wanting to do. And so, you know, their conversations are more technical where, you know, I've had coaching conversations around, I got diagnosed with stage 3 cancer and I'm the CEO of this company. And I'm having a hard time focusing on the business while I'm trying to focus on my health. And I don't know if I should tell my employees or who I should tell. And so we have a disclaimer in our coaching agreement that says we're not licensed mental health professionals, because we're not, but we are licensed coaches. And what we want to do is help people work through some of those problems and just help them come up with solutions to problems that they have, believing that they're the expert. They have the solution in their head. We just need to unlock it and get to it and kind of work that through. So we're kind of like a sounding board on steroids. But if we see you walking towards a cliff, ethically, we're going to pull you away from it.
After the break, we'll take a look at the West Texas Enterprise Center's signature program, the Amarillo Enterprise Challenge. It's an annual event. I've been a part of it twice as a judge, and there's some big money to be spread among the winners.
The MBA is the most popular graduate degree in the United States, and with good reason. It leads to better jobs, promotions, and salary increases. At the Paul and Virginia Engler College of Business at West Texas A&M University, our MBA program is entirely online for when you're ready to make that move. With as few as 31 credit hours and specializations offered in 5 areas, you can fast-track your career in as little as 18 months. Whether you're looking for a promotion or initial job placement, you'll stand head and shoulders above the competition. And because we've been teaching online since 1997, we're not the new kids on the block. Trust your education and career to dedicated faculty who are not only experts in their fields, but also old pros in the online arena. Our consistently high rankings say it all. A GMAT waiver is available. We're AA CSB accredited and among the most elite of business schools around the world. Reach for the stars and do it with a WT MBA in hand. For more information, find us at wtamu.edu/COB or call 806-651-2500. From the Texas Panhandle to the world, we're here to help you reach those stars.
Brian, tell us about this Enterprise Challenge. What is it and what are the benefits?
Yeah, so the Emerald Enterprise Challenge is a 500,000 business plan challenge, competition, if you will, and where businesses located in Potter or Randall County can apply for up to $100,000 in a 5-year forgivable loan. And so it's not a grant program, used to be, but over the years it has matured and sophisticated and really become this incredible program where there's 3 phases. The first is an investor fact sheet where you do a high-level executive summary of the business. What are you doing? Who are you? Who's your customer? What do you need the money for? And how would it change your business? That is, I tell people kind of comically, it's kind of like a dating profile. You just want to hit the highlights. You don't want to go into great detail. You're just covering the big stuff. If you get past that, you go to a 20-page business plan where you get to tell all the ins and outs of the business, who your market is, the threats to that market, who your competitors are, everything that you would find in a traditional business plan. If you get past that, you go to my favorite part, which is the pitch competition. It's kind of like Shark Tank. You come in, you have 10 minutes to present your business, who you are. They've seen your business. They've seen 20 pages of it. So they really just want to meet the person and see the entrepreneur, the jockey, if you will, that rides the horse across the finish line. And they can get up to $100,000 if they do everything they say they were going to do and in that business plan and give it the best, or if you will, the old college try, they get forgiven. And we've only had 2 companies ever have to repay back money out of 105 that have received funds. So incredible program.
Wow. So you've been doing this a long time.
This year is 28 years of the Emerald Enterprise Challenge program.
And when is it held each year? And what's the process for entering?
Yeah. So every year, it depends on when the city council votes for it. So it goes up to city council and mayor for vote every year. And that will kind of dictate it. But typically it will run from October to May, April, May. So it is a 6-month program. And the best way to get started is go to emeraldenterprisechallenge.com. Sign up for an orientation, attend. They are mandatory because they're just a bunch of rules. It's taxpayer funds, and the integrity of the program and our stewardship of it is utmost a priority. And so that mandatory orientation is really just to give everybody all the information that they need to participate. And they can't say they didn't know what they were getting themselves into, because it is a lot of work, because you're creating a 5-year business plan.
Now, Enterprise, you spell it with a Z, don't you?
Yeah, so Enterprise.
Yeah, so Emerald Enterprise with a Z .com.
.com. That's very good. Great
catch. Very good. How competitive is this event?
Every year we have about 100 people come to orientation, 100 companies. We typically see drop applications because there are so much eligibility requirements because it is taxpayer funds. That usually drops around to 20 or 21 that enter the investor fact sheet round. From that, we typically have anywhere from 10 to 15 that go to business plans and anywhere from 5 to 10 that will go to the pitch competition.
Now, as a prior judge, I've seen a lot of those business plans, and boy, they run the gamut. Some are not so good,
yeah.
You know, like never really done one of these before, and others have just blown me away. And so there is a wide variety of competitors out there, some who might have a great product idea but can't really articulate it. And then others who can articulate well, but that doesn't necessarily mean their product is great. They just may be good writers, I guess.
Very good. Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, talk to me a little bit about this business plan. How detailed is this five-year plan?
You know, we actually have a partnership with the SBDC because they're technically professionals in creating business plans. It's what they do for their day job, right? And so they are incredibly good at turning over every stone. And so the process really looks at, you know, initially who your product or service is and who your customer is, but we're going to look at your competitors, either locally, regionally, or nationally. We're going to look at the market threats. You know, everybody was doing great until 2020 hit. But what happens when there's a worldwide pandemic? And that brought on a whole new world of threats to businesses that nobody really, nobody has gone through that before, not in my lifetime. So looking at the geo-economical climate, especially if you're, you know, let's say you're relying upon chip manufacturing. Well, you really have to really keep up with that because that's like a commodity almost. It fluctuates every day and where you can find them and source them. So it's incredibly thorough to the point that we tell people the $100,000 is like the cherry on top, but the sundae is really a five-year plan that you can go confidently leave and execute, and you pretty well should have all your ducks in a row to go after funding or continue to pursue the opportunity with confidence.
Now, have you ever had the awkward situation of two companies being survivors throughout all this whittling down who produce essentially the same thing? And let's just say two competing brands of salsas, like Brian's Salsa and Nick's Salsa. Now what?
Luckily, we have not had that incident, and we do have a rule in there that you can't be a so let's say Nick's Salsa won last year, a salsa company can't win again for 5 years because we don't want to invest in direct competitors within a certain time frame.
That makes sense. We don't want to have too many salsa companies.
Correct.
Here, right?
I correct. Mean, we could,
okay, that sounds good.
Oversaturation.
Now, yeah. This all sounds pretty rigorous. What's the secret sauce of those who make it?
The ones that work with us. You know, coachability is such a quality that we look for in clients. If we're going to work with you and we want to feel like you're upfront, honest, you're going to come do the work, you're going to do the meetings, you're going to make the time and the commitment and the effort. And we don't ask that lightly. We understand we're asking for a lot, but the opportunity and the reward merits a lot of hard work. And sometimes you'll come across opportunities in life where it's a season of just buckle down and put your head down and get it done because the reward on the other side is so good and so great. And I hold Amarillo Enterprise Challenge to be that for these companies. And so the ones that are really successful are the ones that come in and work with the Enterprise Center staff, SBDC staff, and really take the opinions of others into account, into the project that they're working on.
Now, tell us about the judges. How many and how are they chosen?
Yeah, so the judges are chosen. They're kind of selected by the Enterprise Center, and then we reach out to the AEDC and ask for their blessing on them, and then make the request. But we have Sonia Clark, who's the site manager for Bell Helicopter, an absolute incredible leader. Amy Henderson, who's just a phenomenal commercial lender in Amarillo Canyon. I think everybody should know Amy, even if you don't have business with her. You should just know Amy. She's just a great person. We have Dr. Jeffrey Babb of WT's College of Paul and Virginia Engler College of Business. Incredibly smart man. Very, very, very smart. Love the feedback he provides. I'm drawing a blank. I apologize. We have Mike Moreland with Vitel Communications, CEO, and he came in to the Enterprise Center 2 years ago in our Founders Club program and really had an issue with culture, high turnover, no one's training, no one's really growing in the company. And man, they've grown from 10 to 30 employees to now almost 38 employees over the last 12 months. And they're just doing phenomenal things. And so he's an incredible leader. So let's see. We got Amy, Sonia, Dr. Jeffrey Babb, Mike, and I am forgetting one, and it's going to bite me in my bottom. I cannot remember who it is. I'll have to come back to it. I apologize.
Yeah, that's all right. So how long do they serve? 1 year or multiple years?
They can serve 2 years consecutive, and then we ask them to take a break, but they are allowed to come back.
Mm. Okay, very good. Well, I enjoyed my time there, and if you ever have a need for one, let me know.
I will, absolutely.
Because this is right up my alley here. Now, you've mentioned $100,000. Is that the maximum somebody can get?
That is the max. So you can go up to $100,000, and Rachel Bentley with Optimum Rope Access Solutions. Rachel, if you're listening, I'm so sorry. But Rachel Bentley is our other judge, and so the judge is determining that. Yes, yes. I knew it was right there. But the judges determine that. So if you come in and say, I want $100,000, but through your three phases and particularly the pitch event, because the judges have an opportunity to ask questions, if you don't defend your full $100,000 ask, they can just give you $80,000. So they can do a partial funding.
And is there a minimum that a candidate might walk away with?
You know, there's not a minimum per se, but to be a good candidate to win, you really have to have a project or a plan that really changes the business. And so I would hold that it would be pretty difficult to make a substantial difference in any business for less than $50,000, especially these days. So we typically see people asking for the full $100,000.
Okay. And so... who funds this challenge?
So it's taxpayer funded through the AEDC. And so it's part of their budget that they vote on every year, which is why it goes to city council vote every year.
And so this is actually coming from that extra, penny
tax.
Sales tax we pay here.
That's correct.
Great. Okay.
Absolutely.
So that's a good use. You're plowing the money back into Amarillo.
Yeah. And the AEDC loves it because, you know, they catch a lot of grief because a lot of people say, well, you don't support a lot of local companies. Well, they could if they were a type B. Under their structure, they're a type A. And so legally, they only are really allowed to invest in companies that are exporting, which is why you, if you're going through the AEC, have to be an exporter. You have to become a primary business. 51% of your revenue has to come from outside of the five-county MSA. Because they're focused on bringing that outside money in, not really circulating the same money. And so they love it because it's their opportunity to and really invest in local Amarillo companies.
Well, here's the bottom line. Are there any strings attached? I mean, there's no ownership. This is not like a private equity company. It's not a venture capital firm.
No.
Nothing like that. It's just, here's some money, right?
Here's some money.
No strings then, right? But are there any requirements about how that money can be spent?
Yes, yes. And I would clarify there, you sign a 5-year non-relocation agreement. And so the business has to maintain headquarters in Potter or Randall County for 5 years following funding, and you have to go out and do what you said you were going to do. As far as the use of funds, you can use 10% for soft costs like marketing or a new website. Say you want to go to trade shows and show off your cool new product, whatever that looks like. But 90% of it does have to be spent on capital resources. So that's land, it's a new building, it's a big piece of equipment. But what we really encourage people to pursue the opportunity with is $100,000 just happens to be 10% of a million. And so if you're working on a $1 million project, expanding your facility, your manufacturing facility, Creek House Honey Farms here in Canyon, Fat Mama Feeds out in Amarillo, both took their $100,000 and used it as a down payment on a much larger project. And so if you're working on a large project, and let us be your down payment and you pick up the note. So we've seen a lot of success with that model.
But just because you're a finalist and are being judged by the judges, that's no guarantee you're going to get any money, right?
No, and those phone calls are hard. After the judges determine, we go to our office and start making the "I'm so sorry" phone calls, followed by the "congratulations, you won" phone calls. And they're difficult, but we have seen companies come back. And even this last year, a company that had come through for the third time finally won. And so we do encourage people to come back because you're getting good feedback from the judges. Take that, work it into your business, work it into your business plan, get another year of financials underneath you and come back.
Great. And so it's up to the judges then to decide how they want to divide that $500,000, right?
Absolutely.
And so they can slice it and dice it however they see fit. I'm guessing, I remember when I did this, there were really no sympathy allocations. You had to earn it.
you do. And I love when the judges kind of pick their champion, if you will, because it really creates that competitive, well, why do they deserve that money? What have they overcome? What have they developed? What opportunity is ahead of them? And we really encourage the judges, don't give someone money whose opportunity doesn't merit the money. Because you're really putting them in an agreement where you're giving them the money to go and be successful. And if they really aren't there, they're going to struggle for 5 years. And we don't want to do that to them. We want to give them the money when they're ready to go and just take off.
Now, you just mentioned a couple of fairly recent winners. Can you speak about any others?
Yeah. So High Plains Civil Engineers, I love their company. Adolfo, Oscar, and Chris, the three co-owners of that, were employees in it and then bought the owners out and have made this big culture shift. And man, they just do a phenomenal job. But the reason I love what they do is because, again, small business is so impactful. The reason most of the communities around us in the rural environment have clean water and infrastructure and bridges is because High Plains Civil Engineers is incredibly good at writing grants for federal funds to do that. You know, their populations are decreasing, so their tax base is decreasing, so they don't have the money to upkeep this stuff, but there's still people in the community that need it. And they've kind of made it their passion to make sure that our rural communities are taken care of with infrastructure. And I love their business. ProChem sells, they have like 14,000 SKUs. We'll have that talk, Gary and Tyler. But they do a tremendous amount of products, everything from pest control to crop to a lot of baseball fields and golf courses. They really want to make people have great outdoor environments and focus on the products that allow that to happen. And they have a huge business here that you wouldn't even know about. Yeah, you probably drive by, and they have a shop down in Abilene as well. And it's just cool. It's just really, really neat. There's tons more.
When we come back, we'll take a look at Amarillo area entrepreneurship and some of the great success stories we've seen arise from this region.
There's a reason why our programs are rated so highly by independent reviewers. We are committed to continuously improving what we do. Whether it is in the classroom or online, the Paul and Virginia Engler College of Business strives to stay ahead of the curve, not behind it. Join us in the classroom or online and see the difference. We're WCSB accredited and among the most elite business schools around the world. Reach for the stars and do it with a WT business degree in hand. For more info, find us online at wtamu.edu/COB or call 806-651-2525. From the Texas Panhandle to the world, we are here to help you reach for those stars.
Ryan, regardless of whether a company is an Enterprise Challenge winner, we've had some pretty amazing business startups in this area. What are some of the ones that come to mind?
Yeah. So, I really love Optimum Rope Access Solutions. You know, wind energy is such a big deal right now. And they were an AEC winner, but they were an external company that Todd Bentley, the CEO, had this passion for ropes and climbing and dangling from high objects. So he wanted to train people to go do high angle rope activities, whether that's servicing the utility industry or otherwise. And so he started this project, but now finds himself being in the service industry because a lot of the people that are hiring his trainers were going, man, we love your guys. They know what they're doing. They're coming out here. They're proficient. And could you just come and do this for us, please? We can't manage all this. And so he's now off of the Eastern coast doing the first offshore large scale utility wind farm, where there are 3 megawatt wind towers. And for scale, the typical wind turbine that you'll see around here, the pole is about 120 feet, I believe. The blades on the offshore are 325 feet long, and they're just absolutely incredibly massive. And so now they're working on all these really cool jobs, and that's right out of Amarillo, Texas, working with companies like GE and these names that you don't even think they even Amarillo exist, and taking care of companies all over the nation. And so I love his story. Another one, you know, Skip Salsa is wonderful. I absolutely love Tammy Potts. You know, growing her business into HEB and Walmart, United, and there's some diehard Skip Salsa fans out there, and we have some folks that'll come beat down our door, trying to get in there to get her salsa, and I just love the story that she has there as well. Purdue Acoustics came through the incubator a long time ago. Jay Purdue recently passed a year ago, but. Incredible entrepreneur building acoustic panels and sounds, worked with the NSA, CIA, FBI, and interrogation rooms and other spaces, right out of Amarillo, Texas. And you just don't think that happens here, but it does. And there's another head, I'm blanking on the name, Headset Solutions, I believe is the name, but, Air Forces all across the United States ship in their helmets and headsets right here to Amarillo, Texas. And a gentleman here with a staff of 7 people works on the microphones and gets the headsets just right and ships them back out. They're doing business all across the world. And those companies are here and those entrepreneurs are here. And I just have to imagine for every person that I know about, there's 2 dozen more that are hiding that I'd love to meet, because we'd love to let people know their story.
You've been doing this long enough, just a couple of years or so, to see a lot of companies from this region come through your doors. I'm interested, what are the endearing traits of those that have been successful?
Oh, I think the first one is a commitment to just showing up. They just show up, not just for themselves, but they show up for one another as well. And that West Texas friendly, you know, broken down on the side of the road, someone's going to stop to help you mentality, that exists in entrepreneurship, and it's a huge asset, because when you're willing to help others, you receive help, and you get a lot further, a lot faster. And, So just that open mindset, and then just curiosity. I think curiosity is what breeds innovation. I don't think there's any way that you can innovate without first the thought of, I wonder if this could be better. And just that instinctive curious trait, that tends to be a pretty common theme amongst our CEOs of, they're always looking for opportunities of going, man, that's not right. I'm going to make it better. And they're curious about the problems that they have, and that helps them a lot.
Well, I have to flip the coin and say, what about those who didn't make it? Either the ones that you've just seen yourself in your time at the Enterprise Center, or throughout the history of the center, what causes some not to make it?
I think it's intimidation of personal weakness more than anything. I think the entrepreneurs that we've seen really struggle are the ones that have started a business and had some initial success, and they should feel good about that initial success, but they kind of count on that to get them further. And if you as the owner are not maturing and developing your own skill set while your business is growing, there will reach a point where you are going to be the thing that is stifling the business. And sometimes that's hard to admit, and sometimes that's hard to see when you are the reason that things have stopped growing, or you are the reason that the problems exist. And if they can't work past the point of going, okay, I'm the problem and that's okay. I'm going to fix it. That they just kind of let pride take them a different direction of going, I refuse to believe I'm the problem. Everything else is the problem. And that's typically an early indicator of a doomed company.
Well, you mentioned Skip Salsa. I love the fact that they have gotten so much traction because, well, first of all, if you've lived in Texas very long, you know that every grocery has an enormous salsa section. This is Texas. You know,
it's like, absolutely right.
You got to have choices here. And we have an overwhelming amount of choices. I was just doing this yesterday. I was like, holy cow, I just need salsa. But it was fun looking at all the different ones and grabbing a couple to take home here. It's no small task to get in to see a corporate buyer like at Walmart or United or HEB. And it's not like these supermarkets have empty slots on their shelf just waiting for the next good salsa to come along. No, you've got to muscle your way in, knowing that any space you get is probably going to come at the expense of someone else. So I'm happy to see that a company in a very, very crowded category. I mean, it is competitive. It's probably cutthroat to make it, and especially from Amarillo. That's really good. I'm thrilled about that.
Well, and some of the hustle that you don't see is, you know, you assume that if that product's on the shelf in Walmart, Walmart's stocking it. But no. Until you're a certain size, the entrepreneurs themselves are hand delivering cases and stocking the shelves themselves. And so every jar you see of Skip Salsa on any Walmart or United shelf, she put there. And she loves it because she gets to go on the aisle and she's like, don't buy that salsa, buy my salsa. It's better. She sees it as a sales opportunity.
Well, that's great. Sadly, there's never any guarantee that a business will make it. And it's commonly stated that 50% of businesses fail in their first 5 years. But in my previous conversations with you, I know that the ratio of your clients being successful is quite a bit higher. What are your thoughts on this? I mean, basically, your coaching, your services, and so forth, are these kind of like the vitamins and supplements every business needs?
Yeah, I'll say we want to focus, and that's why I love the Enterprise Center mission. We focus on the entrepreneur, and the business may not be successful, but the skills that were developed through the process of that business failure inevitably taught that entrepreneur skills that would hopefully benefit the next venture. We hope that they weren't so burned by the failure that they refused to pursue their entrepreneurial passion and whatever lies ahead. But yeah, it is something to be said about reaching out for help, admitting that you don't know everything, being curious about what is out there. You know, a lot of people go, why don't I know about you? I've been in Amarillo 5 years and I didn't know this existed. We want to be a resource for you. And to that point, we think coming out and just, we can't guarantee your success, but we can sure help you avoid some big potholes along the way.
Well, aside from simply not knowing about you, why do you think some local businesses don't avail themselves of your services? I mean, any idea?
Yeah, I think some of it is the, hey, I'm the government and I'm here to help. I don't really trust this. What's in it for you? And I tell people, and I say this, and I don't know that I shouldn't, but anyway, we are selfish. The Enterprise Center does have a selfish intention, and that is your success. If you are successful, it doesn't just bode well for us. It bodes well for our community. If we're not good at what we do and we're not able to provide the service that we really want to provide, it has a negative impact on the communities we serve. And we're passionate about that. And so we want to make sure people are successful because the state truly does care about small business. And having the eighth largest economy in the world and a governor that's won the Governor's Cup 10 years in a row. And I mean, we are not a state where we're going to let small business fail.
What can we all be doing to educate area businesses, especially startups, of the services you provide? Should we all be like ambassadors for you?
I would love that. I would love that. And that's really what, you know, we've go to these conferences called eBuilders, and it's about creating this ecosystem. And I loved what was said in Detroit. And one of the gentlemen, he said, we've built this ecosystem where it doesn't matter what door you enter. You are now a part of all of us. And that's really what we focused on the last 12 to 18 months is fixing the facility, but bringing all these people in, like Department of Ag through the Go Texan program, SBDC, Apex, Government Accelerator that focuses on government contracts and procurement, TMAC, you know, the EDCs, we're part of the PRPC's EDC directors. We feel like we have all the right folks around us that even if we're not the best ones to help you, man, we know the best people to help you. And we trust that our referral sources they're going to do the same for us.
And are there things that we can be doing here in the College of Business to help you?
Yeah, you know, I think letting students know about the resource is huge. Not that we want to come in and take the student away from a professor, but we'd love to work in tandem with a student and a professor on projects. Because, you know, Parker is just a great example of some of the incredible students that we have here. And I will not tell Parker's story, but you should really ask him his story because how he got to where he is just truly that's amazing.
Well, that'll be in a future episode.
Yeah.
And you can count on it. It's coming soon.
Yeah, that's awesome. And yeah, we would just love to work with students because, you know, I have this dream that a student from Dalhart would come to WT and go through College of Business and get connected with the Enterprise Center and SBDC and maybe identify a business need in Dalhart and work with us while they're here on creating this plan and then connecting them with the EDC in Dalhart and giving them some space and some startup funds and putting this educated individual, this buff back in Dalhart, Texas to start a business and support the community there. That is the way that we revitalize the panhandle and it's amazing.
Lastly, how does the WT Enterprise Center benefit the College of Business?
Yeah, you know, one is just that the service focus of being engaged with corporate, you know, clients and partners. Our Founders Club program actually takes in funds. And so some of those funds we're setting aside to work on some really cool ideas for a program we're calling the Future Founders Funds, where they really want to see college students get startup money and mentorship. And so, you know, we really want to be an aid to professors that are working on ideas with students. And we want to give students, you know, business competitions, pitch competitions, opportunities to get money, access to mentorship. I think we're probably just at the beginning of really figuring out what that true relationship with College of Business looks like because we've been so externally focused in the past. But oh my gosh, the door is wide open and we have an incredible college, an incredible dean, and I just see a bright future ahead.
My guest today has been Brian Ennevoltz, Managing Director of the WT Enterprise Center. Brian, walk us out the door here. If you had to tell a small business the most important reason why they should come see you, what would it be?
Because entrepreneurship is hard enough and no one should have to do it alone.
You've been listening to Buff Speak from the Paul and Virginia Engler College of Business at West Texas A&M University. Our executive producer is Justin Lovell and Allison Hunter is our associate producer. Our co-editors are Maverick Evans and Paul Torres. Lindsay Bjork is our director of marketing and outreach initiatives, which includes overseeing Buff Speak. Dr. Jeffrey Babb is Director of Accreditation and is our technical consultant. Finally, Dr. Amjad Abdulat is Dean of the College. You can find us online at wtamu.edu/COB for more information about our programs. Be sure to check out our many academic offerings.
Come for the quality, stay for the small classes, affordable tuition, and friendly, approachable professors. And look online at our faculty blog, profspeak.com, for more insights. You can listen to BuffSpeak on your favorite podcast portal, as well as on our website, buffspeak.biz. And if you like what you've been hearing, don't be afraid to share us with your friends, colleagues, and family. Word of mouth has always been the best form of advertising. Until next time, love one another. For the Paul and Virginia Engler College of Business at West Texas A&M University, I am Dr. Nick Gerlich. And as always, go Buffs! BuffSpeak.